Happy New Week, everybody. It is Perez, and this is a new show, I guess. I'm going to call it Perez Chats, an offshoot of the podcast. What you're listening to right now is going to be coming out every Monday, and it will be me chatting with some fabulous people, starting today with Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange, two icons from RuPaul's Drag Race. They have a tour that they are going to be doing jointly, and they also have a podcast that they do, and they do not hold back on anything, honey. They spill the tea, they throw the shade, and we had a really good time chatting. So please check it out, and I want to thank you all for listening to this. Thank you for doing this. I am very excited to genuinely, I better be there when you are in Los Angeles. The two of you are going on tour. Have tickets gone on sale yet?
They have. Well, I hope you're there. I mean, I guess you have more power to be there than we have already to get you there. So yeah, I agree. You better be there.
I better be there. Actually, Bob, I saw you recently at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles as part of that Netflix is a joke event. And for those that are listening or watching that did not see that on Netflix, you were doing stand-up. Is that something that people who go see your joint tour can expect? Will you be doing some, or is it going to be more of a scripted thing?
Well, I mean, there will certainly be some elements of stand-up. I've been doing stand-up for the entirety of my drag. My drag started in stand-up. My first performance was actually doing stand-up at the New York Comedy Club 14 years ago. So I've been doing stand-up for 14 years now. I think some people will think that they're like, oh, Bob's dipping her toe in stand-up. I actually have two stand-up specials out already. And of course, I'm hosting Stand Out on the Netflix is a joke from the Netflix Comedy Festival.
So when you started doing stand-up 14 years ago, did you originally start doing it in drag, or was it in your boy persona?
It was my first time doing stand-up and my first time doing drag were on the same evening. Drag performance was stand-up comedy. So I really was like, I was nothing if not ambitious.
Wow. And Monet, I got to say, recently, your lip sync for your life spoken word, Designing Women, I think is one of the best things ever in the history of Drag Race. Well,
thank you.
And I would just like to say, if we had a recreation of that on tour, that would be pretty fierce as well.
Well, you know, as New York City queens, Mom and I both came up in the New York City drag circuit. And it's definitely something that is a big part of the New York City scene. Like queens lip syncing to spoken words.
Yeah.
Lip syncing to Tiffany Pollard calling Gemma fat cunt. Lip syncing to NeNe Leakes bullying LaToya Jackson on Celebrity Apprentice. So like queens have done this for a long time. So I was very proud to do it.
The spoken word challenge. Maybe we should add from the television and film, the spoken word challenge, like a whole chunk.
Oh, that's good.
What we do,
like, see, here as y'all know, Bob is a wealth of ideas. And Bob, here he comes. Bob wants to add the spoken word challenge to the tour. The tour is constantly moving and evolving, and we're adding another layer right in person.
That'd be cute, though, wouldn't it?
That would be cute.
I just felt really old for a second there because you were referencing all of the spoken word bits that drag queens in New York were doing. But when I lived in New York City as a college student at NYU, Candace Kane at Barracuda was doing like movies from the 50s and things like that. Like, we are senior citizens now. But I love all those things that you quoted. Have the two of you started working on the tour yet? Like rehearsals or anything like that?
Yeah, today we met with our creative director, Marvin Brown, who is amazing. He's also the creative director of the amazing stunt shows and shenanigans you guys see on We're Here on HBO. So we worked with him today, and I'm not trying to brag. We have some really fly, dope ass shit coming across America and the world. It's going to be great. I'm so unbelievably proud of what we're about to put on stage.
Me too.
I love it. And especially, you know, that the two of you are joining forces, and I know people are excited to see the two of you, and not a diss to anybody else.
Drag them.
I just love diversity, and that, you know, the two of you together are this, star billing, you know, and it's not like, oh, should I go with somebody else on the road or whatever? But speaking of that, you know, a lot of other Drag Race alums have done shows and are currently touring. Have you seen any of the other shows?
Oh, Perez is trying to get the dirt. Perez is like, which show did you see and which ones were terrible that you hated?
Well, I saw, Monet and I both saw Trixie and Katya, the Trixie and Katya tour. I saw it at the Ace Hotel.
I saw it in previews when they had the Friends and Family Nights.
And it was really wonderful. And I saw Bianca Del Rio at the Ace Hotel as well.
So good. Bianca's show was so fucking good. Bianca. And again, I've been seeing Bianca do her thing for at this point, 10 years since I've started doing drag. So Bianca has always puts on a show, but you know, her newest one, Unsanitized, was really, really, really brilliant. I really enjoyed seeing her.
And I got a chance to go see Alyssa Edwards.
Did that have a lot
as well?
Did Alyssa have a lot of dancing in her show?
I mean, I don't want to give away too much from her show, but I will say this. What I didn't realize that Alyssa, she's a great dancer, but she's a magnificent storyteller. And her storytelling ability,
the Duchess.
I was gagged. I was like, oh wow, I didn't know she had this skill. It was so good. It really was like I could listen to her tell 1,000 stories.
Oh, I saw Trixie and Katya as well. And I was actually, you know, I went into that with no expectations and I was really impressed. I'm like, this felt like not a drag show. It almost felt like theater, which I loved. I have not seen Bianca yet, but let's promote everybody. What was Bianca's thing about?
Like, Bianca just stand up, just really stand up. And I think about, because people hear the Sibling Rivalry podcast tour, and you know, our tour is called, we have our podcast, Sibling Rivalry, and each episode has a theme. The one about veganism, the one about TVs, the one about radio, the one about candles, whatever it is. This one is called Sibling Rivalry Tour Live, the one about TV and film. So, and we're not just going around from city to city doing live episodes of our podcast, just talking. Where the first half of the show is a full drag show with Bob and I, our original music. We have dancers, we have lights, camera, action, we have costumes, we're giving them people a full experience. And then we come, we do a little sit down podcast, and then we close it out with another big larger than life scaled drag number. So
thankful that Pepper is back and that you all are loving Pepper. These are super premium bras made specifically for smaller chested women. It's hard getting bras that fit right because, you know, these other companies, they'll make them with gaps or they have uncomfortable padding. Not Pepper. They are bras made specifically for you. Women love Pepper. It was founded by women. It's been featured all over Oprah, Daily, Glamour, CNN, BuzzFeed. And what I love the most about Pepper is if you are skeptical, if you're not sure, because some people may not like buying lingerie or any clothes online, although I buy all my stuff online, you could try Pepper risk-free with free U.S. shipping and returns on orders over $99. Get 20% off your first order when you go to wearpepper.com/Hilton. That's WEARPEPPER.com/Hilton to get 20% off your first order. That's wearpepper.com/Hilton. Good, because I was about to give you my unsolicited suggestion. One thing I did not get from the Trixie and Katya show that I think...
Drag them.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. But, you know, when I'm going to see a drag extravaganza, I would love at least one moment of audience participation. And they really didn't have that. So if there's any way to incorporate the audience into your show, maybe pick out some person to come up on stage or do something or whatever, people always get a kick out of that. I mean, like Janet Jackson still does that on all her tours where she'd pick out that person and then the grind on them or whatever. So
Patti LaBelle does it. On Patti LaBelle's tour, she would bring people on stage, and one time she had to body check somebody, which Bob should have been. It's so funny. People,
but also, in Trixie and Katya's defense, I wouldn't want to interact with their fans either.
Are you both doing just the U.S. for now? Are there plans for international shows?
Oh, yeah, now we're just doing the USA. We're gauging the response to this. Also, you know, Monet and I, we are very lucky to be very busy women. And we're trying to carve out time to be able to go to more places throughout the U.S. And we would love to return to the U.K. and to Canada. We would love to perform in different countries across Africa and Asia, South America, and down under.
Hey, listen, if they would have us on the moon, we're down. Elon, suck that jet. Let's go.
Yeah, Elon, fire up the dick rocket. We'll go to the moon.
Yeah, let's do it.
The cock rocket. We want it.
And you're both... Are either of you dating anybody at the moment?
Girl, Bob has more partners than there are days in the week. Okay. I barely have
time. Talk about yourself, bitch. I'll talk about me. You talk about yourself, bitch.
I am currently experiencing love in my life, and it's been great.
Because I was going to say, if you're single and going to all of these places, that would be a lot of fun, I would imagine.
I've done that, girl, and I have the antibiotics to prove that.
And let me just say out loud, I do not have to be single to go out in the world and have fun. I would like to make that abundantly clear. I do not need to be single to go out into the world and still have my fun. But also, monkeypox got a bitch
girl
shaking her. I'm about to go get the vaccine, and then I'll see y'all out in these streets.
There should be a way to get, like, show your card. Do they give a card when you get the monkeypox vaccine?
I'll check back in with you.
It's fascinating to me as a lover of drag and a pop culture expert to really see everything that's happened in the drag space in the last 10 years. And also, like, everything is constantly evolving and changing. Like, if you would have asked me just 12 months ago, who is the most famous or making the most money of all of the Drag Race alums, I would have said, oh, obviously Bianca. But I would have to say now that Trixie is the most famous and crushing it with the money.
You pronounced my name wrong. It's pronounced Monet.
Oh. I was like, wait a minute, did I pronounce your name wrong? No, but I was going to get to that. Like, anything is possible in the next 12 months, right? Where do you?
And who knows? Trixie might die in the next 12 months. Maybe she'll get a fatal case of monkeypox and drop dead. Fingers crossed.
Where would you both like to see your career in a year? Or is there anything new that you haven't done yet that you would like to try?
Yeah, well, you know, I have this year dipped my toe into stand-up, and I'm really enjoying doing it. I've been lucky enough to go on a comedy tour this summer and selling out multiple nights in the same cities at different comedy clubs, and it's been really great. And you know, because for all intents and purposes, for the past decade, I've kind of been doing stand-up, just not calling it that. You know what I mean? I was a 7-gig-a-week working queen in New York City, talking to a room full of drunk faggots for 2 hours and then 2.5 hours holding their attention, you know, telling jokes and doing my thing. So I was kind of doing stand-up, but this year I sat down, got some jokes to paper, and took the advice of Mateo Lane and Bob the Drag Queen and Nicole Byer, and you know, and they really all inspired me, and they got my comedy shit together. And I'm also doing a callback to my little bachelor's degree in music education and opera performance. I'm really taking some opera on the road soon, and I've gotten some opportunities to maybe do some opera performances in drag in different states. So I'm really excited about the
fun. What do you mean maybe? Are you doing it or are you not doing it?
Well, you will find out very soon. Relax. Bitch, worry about your career. I'm worried about my career.
I'll give you another, not suggestion, but something that I don't know why they didn't do this, to be honest, but Trixie and Katya had a no phones policy, which personally, I think it's brilliant to have all of these people doing free marketing for you.
Yeah, Bob and I encourage pictures and videos. We like it. We are narcissistic drag queens, okay? I love seeing pictures and videos of myself.
I love that. So just like anything can happen for all of the Drag Race alums, anything can happen for the show as well. And it has been great for Drag Race to evolve with the years and seeing different kinds of people on the show, from, you know, Got Mick to openly trans women as well. Either of you have any vision for what you would really like to see more of or less of from Drag Race in the future?
You know, I mean, I always say I'm not a psychic or a soothsayer. I can't say where drag is going to go. I think that drag, when you look outside of the realm of RuPaul's Drag Race and televised drag. Drag is a very accepting place. And if you're part of the New York City scene, you know there are tons of cis women who do drag.
Yeah.
Those of us who are from big drag scenes, we were not shocked when Metamorphosis crossed our screen. We were like, yeah, we've seen this before. There are tons of trans women doing drag in these spaces outside of television. So I would love to see the world of drag on television be more reflective of what it's like out in the real world.
The show still has not given us, unless I missed this, but a cis woman on Drag Race.
Yes, on Drag Race UK. Drag Race UK season 3. Victoria's
gone. Is gone, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the US is just behind the times. Actually, there's a female drag queen from the 90s and early 2000s that's a cis woman who was named Bob. Do you know her?
World famous Bob. Yeah, world famous Bob is a great burlesquer. And also, let's not forget Animatronic, who was a big part of the San Francisco Sister drag Sisters. Scene. A big part of the San Francisco drag scene before, making it big with the Sister Sisters.
Yeah, I love her. Speaking of good stuff in the world, Belly Welly is made with lots of good stuff. If you're a busy worker bee or a busy parent, then finding something healthy to eat without thinking about it and no worries is so important. That's why Belly Welly is here to help. And even more important, they're here to help people that might have gut issues or that just want to be extra healthy. Belly Welly makes these food bars that are delicious, so many flavors, they're addicting. They're really gooey and chewy and sweet, but they're low FODMAP. Google it, okay? They're filled with probiotics in like a breakfast brownie. Amazing. And like I said, these will not bloat you. They won't cause IBS. They're just so great. You can get the cinnamon, the swirl, the birthday cake, blueberry muffin, and more. They're gluten-free, vegan, and have 3 grams of fiber each. Go to bellywelly.com and use code PEREZ30 to unlock a 30% discount. That's bellywelly.com and use code PEREZ30. I was curious because I've chatted with some Drag Race people, but I've never asked them this. What was the casting process like for both of you? Did either of you get like scouted, or did both of you submit yourselves?
I submitted myself up. I auditioned 5 times, season 6, 7, 8, 9. I got on 10. And, I was in it to win it, girl. But I will say, like, when I started doing drag, I did not, and if some people do, that's their prerogative and it's not a right or wrong thing, but I didn't start doing drag to get on Drag Race. I started doing drag because I really fell in love with it. And the community of people that I found in New York City, I just love doing drag. I would work my 8-hour shift, get off, run home on the train, get painted in drag and party until 6 o'clock in the morning and having to do it all over again. And I would do that 5, 6 days a week. Because I loved drag so much, and it really was a lifeline in a way that I discovered my gender identity and how I move through the world. So I was, but I, obviously Drag Race is a fun thing. I was like, I can do that too. Especially after Bob got on, I was like, if he can get on, I want to get on too. And thus the rivalry began. So yeah, I auditioned 5 times before I got on the show.
You know, I auditioned 4 times, but I had a really interesting story actually. You know, I did a cruise with Kathleen and Jimmy. One time also
Hocus Pocus and a lot of and Sister Act and a lot of other stuff.
Shout out for Hocus Pocus too. I did a cruise with Kathleen and Jimmy, and then she really loved my show so much. After my show, we were at the buffet and she pulled out her phone and she called RuPaul, who didn't answer. But it was a voicemail, and she said, hey, I want you to know that I'm sitting here with the next winner of your show. You need to call me back. And then RuPaul actually came to my gig to see me. And then I was cast the next season, and the rest is her story.
I love that. I have what might be a controversial question, and you cannot answer it if you don't want to.
Hey.
Who is your least favorite judge on Drag Race?
I was recently going back watching. We're watching season 8 right now, and to be honest, I forgot that half these people were judging on the show. I only got into an argument with one judge, and he's not my least favorite judge, but I got into an argument with the music director at the time. But
Who was it? Who was it?
Lucian Piani was.
Oh, bless him.
He and I got into an argument one time there, but I never. You don't really have a relationship. Speaking for myself, I never really had any relationships or interactions with the judges, to be honest. The special guest judges, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with all the judges, done multiple gigs with them. Michelle Visage, I've toured Europe with her for over a month, and waking up next to Michelle on the tour bus, and us going to the Starbucks together to get coffee and take a shit. So like, Bob and I have done tours with Ross Matthews. I've done a lot of stuff with Carson Kressley as well, even before the show. So it kind of transcends the judging thing, and you kind of, you know, at some point, like, where does the line appear? Judges blur. You know what I mean? So. So I don't have a least favorite judge, and I love all of them. They all give really great sound advice, and we're, you know, Michelle really is like a mom. She is a mom.
She's pretty tough.
She's a lot like a mom.
She is. Michelle Visage is somebody's mom, and she really behaves that way when you are interacting with her without, you know, cameras and shit, and even on camera she is. So I have nothing but positive things to say about the judges.
I love them all as well. I did Celebrity Big Brother in the UK with Michelle.
Oh, right.
And it was quite the experience.
Yeah, I remember, girl.
Wasn't she mad at you?
Not just her. I mean, but the thing is, I like to keep it real and be honest. Like, I'm not going to say something to appease anybody else. And for some reason, I don't know if she was just speaking for herself or the show, but... You know, season three, I spoiled that Raja won, right? Somebody told me the exclusive and I published it. And she's like, how could you do that to us? How could you do that to your own community? And I'm like, somebody gave me a scoop. Some bitches had loose lips, like, and I would do it again. And she's like, how could you say that? I'm like, but we've made peace and all is good. And, you know, we're like family, and family gets into disagreements.
Yeah. Have you been excommunicated from the UK?
Yes.
Are you free to walk the streets, or do you get that bop, bop, bop from the beef eaters?
No, they're lovely. They think I'm crazy, which I am. So
to be fair, in America, we think the same thing.
Now that you are both these superstars, not even just in drag, but outside of drag as well, are either of you like paying it forward to like the next generation of draglings? Like, have either of you started a house or have like people that you mentor?
Fuck
or anything
them
like
drag
that?
Kids. Fuck them drag kids. I ain't giving them little niggas no motherfucking advice or money or anything, a wig or none of that shit for them.
Bob, language. I cannot believe that you just said the word little. That's really offensive. But no, I don't have any drag children. The last drag, and I've never had a drag kid. The only type of drag kid I've had was on season 10. Tyler Oakley was my drag kid for the makeover. And then Patty Cash, my sister.
That's
Patty.
Not
was,
true.
I do not have this person that you talk about does not exist.
Monet Exchange has a drag kid, wayward child.
I do not. And they never come. You asked this last
living
time
a hard knock from. Life for us on the streets of New York City.
That is not true.
Monet turned, there is a, I cannot remember their name, but Monet turned them over to Miss Hannigan, and Monet has a kid out there somewhere, a little redhead kid out there somewhere with a dog named Sandy.
I know that Peppermint has done Broadway. Is that something that either of you would like to do as well? If so, what show would you each like to be on?
Okay, when they do the revival of Rent in about, you know, hopefully, you know what, they rush it for me. They do a revival in the next like 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years. I would love to be Collins. I would love to be Collins of Rent.
That's a good one.
Old enough yet? You actually have them waiting. You're not quite old enough yet, I feel, too, Monet. I feel like Collins is more like 36, almost 40.
Okay, in 5 years, but how old do you think I'm going to be? I'm going to be 36. Literally, I'm going to be the age you're talking about. So,
well, you said Rush. I mean, the show actually ended like...
In 2008.
Yeah, like 14 years ago. You know,
no, but then it was off Broadway for a few years.
I cannot sing or dance that well.
But neither could Rosie O'Donnell, and she did a bunch of Broadway shows, musicals.
Well, you know what? If the occasion arises, I mean, I've done the Broadway schedule. It wasn't on Broadway. I did Angels in America at the Berkeley Repertory Theater, which is really, really lovely.
Oh wow, that's amazing. That's two shows. That's a lot to soak in and learn.
Yeah, it was a lot. It is a 7-hour play, and So, you know, I would love to return to the stage in that capacity, but I don't think that I don't think I'm the musical queen. I don't think I'm I don't think I'm going to be in a production of Kinky Boots anytime soon.
Keisha Boots.
Are you guys offering meet and greets as part of your tour? Will people get the opportunity to do that?
Yes, yes, we do have. There is a VIP experience package that includes a meet and greet. And, you know, with everything going on, I would want to say this. And now I have said on the podcast, I hug everyone. Yeah. This is before COVID or from monkeypox. So definitely we're going to be doing a safe meet and greet so that the tour isn't canceled because one of us gets monkeypox or some crazy shit.
Anyone who knows me, I have not liked hugs since day one. I was not hugging before coronavirus. I will not be hugging after coronavirus. I would love for if only one thing comes out of this interview, I do not like hugs. Let that be the one. Let that be the headline.
But you like to hug me.
I will hug Monet.
So you do like hugs.
Sometimes. Just from select people.
But Monet, with you, it feels more like torture. It feels more like it's pain. It's actually more like a jab to my soul each time, you know. But I'm a masochist.
And your podcast, you'll be doing the mini episodes, but you'll be continuing like the regular show while you're on tour as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anything else you want to promote? People should watch or buy or do?
No, not on my end. Roberta, do you have something you want to plug?
I really want everyone to watch. Yeah, I really want everyone to watch Golden Girls season 3, episode 4.
All right. What was that? Why that one?
I'm just kidding. I have no clue what
Golden Girls. I do love Golden Girls.
No, that's great.
My favorite episode was probably the one where Betty White started doing those cartwheels in the dance.
I know what you're talking about. For me, the best one was where they all had to vote to be who was going to get kicked out of the house because they found that they were breaking a law because they didn't all own the lease. And everyone voted for Dorothy to be kicked out of the house. That's probably the best scene for Golden Girls.
All right. Well, I appreciate you both and your time. Where can people get tickets? On Ticketmaster or Bob on your Monet. Website?
BobandMonet.com.
There we go. And I will see you in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I'll make it happen. All right, everybody, that was Monet Exchange and Bob the Drag Queen. I am Perez Hilton. I hope you enjoyed Perez Chats. We'll be back at you on Wednesday with Booker and me. If you enjoyed this, please tell your friends, share the link, PerezPodcast.com. You're amazing. I love you. I mean it. Mwah.